Thank you for that and being here with us this morning. We look here in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. I lost my voice at the end of the week, but I was drinking tea and honey and lemon, and I'm going to cut loose and just do what I do. So if I go through puberty while I'm preaching, just forgive me and just say amen and keep on rocking. But, you know, I have personally been fortunate that I've been able to go to a lot of cool places in the presence of a lot of people who people would claim to be important or of great power and significance. So in my lifetime, God has afforded me the opportunity to work near the detail of President George W. Bush when I was working for the Sheriff's Office in Clinton County. In my lifetime, I have been in the presence of LeBron James and Kobe Bryant, and Tiger Woods and Jack Nicklaus at different sporting events. I was able to go to Game 2 of the World Series when the Cincinnati Reds played the Oakland Athletics in 1990. I was 8 years old. I have been in the presence of some movie stars. And so some of those folks, I've never seen the movies, but some of those folks who were in the Avengers, I've been in the presence of Chris Hemsworth, who plays Thor, and Scarlett Johansson, and Jeremy Renner, and Chris Evans, Captain America, the real Captain America. And been in the presence of some pretty cool people in my lifetime and more than that. But I've never been in the presence of something or someone better than when I'm in prayer in the throne room of God. And the power there is unparalleled and unprecedented. And ultimately, it is the way that we get anything accomplished that gets accomplished. I told our Sunday school class this morning, filling in college and career, that these young people, when you get to the preaching time at camp, no offense to the preachers there, but it is very easy to see people saved, because I believe that way before we ever got to camp, the prayer and fasting of the saints had prepared the soil that the Holy Spirit went before us. And as soon as the Word of God is open, people become ready and tender to be saved. Because people were in the throne room of God way before we ever got to the throne room of camp. Amen. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 4, in verse 12, it speaks about the Word of God. And we have to first get through how important the Word of God is, because you can't even get to the throne room or in the throne room until you understand how powerful the Word of God is. And so we got to understand the Word of God before we can get to how important that is, before we can have impact for prayer. Hebrews 4 and verse 12, if you're able, stand with me for the reading, and honor tells us, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly." Everybody say boldly.
Boldly.
It means confidently, not arrogantly or expecting that you're going to get something done yourself, but coming boldly knowing that God can do something.
Amen.
"Come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Now stay on verse 16 with me. Let's read it out loud together. "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The grass withers and the flower thereof fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." Lord God, we pray today that you would hide me behind your cross, that only that what we speak today would be a thus saith the Lord, that it would go into the ears that would hear. And Lord, when we come out, we would not just be hearers of the word, but doers also. Father God, we thank you today. I pray that you bless your word and the reading of it in the name of Jesus. And the church said, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The word of God detects the state of the heart.
Amen.
It's alive, because the word quick here is alive, and it's able to illuminate our sinful condition. If you knew you were a sinner in this place today, somebody said amen. If you know you're a sinner, you know you've done wrong at some point in time in your life, don't let your church clothes confuse you this morning. You're a sinner, but if you're saved, you're a sinner saved by grace. And if you're a sinner in this room and you've never been saved, you don't know what that means, you don't have a true testimony, let me tell you this. Throughout this message, if you can leave this place and not understand, not because of my preaching, not because of my might, but because of the word of God that's sharper than any two-edged sword, if you can walk out of this place this morning and still not be saved, you weren't listening and you weren't ready to hear the word of God today, because it's a lie. And it will illuminate, it will shine a light on what's wrong with you, and it will also show you everything that's right with God. The word demonstrates its power by accurately knowing the heart's intentions, which are actually wicked. Look at Jeremiah 17 and 9. Some of you know this verse and can quote it. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The answer to who can know the heart is God, because the word of God is a discerner of the heart, the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word's ministry is so powerful and so alive, it's able to bring us into the very presence of God. Look at verse 12 there. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God is more powerful than your sin. The word of God is more powerful than your problems. The word of God is more powerful than your relationships. And so it's able to bring us into the very presence of God. And not only is it able to bring us into the presence of God, but it's able to pierce and get deep down inside of you when nobody else can see it, when nobody else knows it. God knows what's going on in your life. And when it gets deep down inside of there, it does some things. The first thing it does is it brings success to our lives. Look at Psalm 1 and 3. I'm going to go through a lot of verses quickly. Psalm 1 and 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. It delivers us from bondage. Look at Matthew 8 and 16. Jesus is speaking and talking to someone, and even when he was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirit with his word and healed all that were sick. He didn't have to lay a hand on them. He didn't have to pour anything on their head, just the power of his word, and they were set free. It cleanses us from sin. Look at Psalm 119 and verse 9. The word of God cleanses us. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. It gives us some sin repellent, if you would. Look at Psalm 119. You know this, verse 11. Thy word have I hidden mine heart that I might not sin against thee. See, that's sin repellent. I like bug repellent. Mosquitoes have been tearing me up lately. But when I put that, now listen, I know some of y'all don't going to get this. Off, I know, is a good brand, but black people use Skin So Soft. Anybody know Skin So Soft? Avon? It don't repel them, but it's hard to bite a greasy brother. You know what I'm talking about? They just slide right off there. Anyway, it brings wisdom to us. Look at Psalm 119 and verse 24. Psalm 119, verse 24. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask it of God, who giveth all men liberally, the Bible says. It brings us strength. Look at Psalm 119 and 28. When I need strength, I go to the word of God. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. It gives us life. Psalm 119, 93, the longest chapter of the Bible, gives us lots of wisdom. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me, or made me alive. The same power that the word of God has in Hebrews 4:12, it had there in Psalm 119 and 93. It lightens our understanding. Watch this. You know this verse, Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When it gets dark, God's word lightens up the path. It's a safe place to those who love the word of God. Psalm 119 and 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You know why people stay in church? Because even when their toes keep getting stepped on, they love the word of God so much they got to get some more of it anyway. Yeah. Brings faith and fruit. Romans 10, 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Brings eternal life. In John 5 and 24, the word of God brings this, "Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but it is passed from death unto life." You can't get saved without the word of God. If you ever go to a church and they never open up the Bible, you never hear any scripture preached, and somebody said they got saved, no, they didn't. Unless they were preaching to themselves some word of God, they didn't get saved because of a story. They didn't get saved because of a testimony. A testimony is supposed to lighten and show us who Jesus is. But at some point in time, you got to preach Jesus for somebody to get saved, because he's the only one that can save. You don't believe me? Let me show you. Watch this. It shows true discipleship. John 8:31. He said this. I'm going to skip down here to the Jews which believe, but if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. If you really love the word of God, wish I had a Bible reader, Brother Jake. If you truly love the word of God, that's the only way you can truly be a disciple of Jesus. Don't say you follow Jesus, but you never open the book. Because Jesus just said in John 8:31, you don't really love me, you're just around me. It brings sanctification. John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. How are you different than the world? Our theme this year was different. How are you different from the rest of the world? By the way that you live your life, because of what you know inside of this book. It brings assurance of salvation. I like that verse. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 2. By which also you are saved if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Hey, if you're really saved, then the word of God has lots of verses in it. This is Assurance Baptist Church, like I always say, not Maybe Baptist Church. Once you're saved, you're always saved. And the word of God keeps on showing me that, because as much as I mess up, grace will always be greater than sin. And so I look through the Bible, and where sin has abounded, grace has much more abounded, the Bible says. So as big as sin is in the world, grace is much bigger. And every time I read that, I thank God, because I say, you know what? As big of a sinner as I am, I know that nothing is able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Amen. I like this part too, Brother Anthony. You ready? It weaponizes the believer against evil. The word of God gives me a weapon. Look at this, Ephesians 6 and 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the word of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. When the devil comes after me, I got a weapon to go at him. And it's not through my physical strength, but it's through God and his security. It is God in text. Listen to me. The way you prove you're into Jesus is if you're into the word of God, then you're into Jesus. John chapter 1 and verse 1. You know this: in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Jesus is God, and the word of God, the Bible, is God in text. People say, how does the preacher's message seem to be for me? Or how does it step on my toe? Preacher, you were talking right to me. No, I wasn't talking right to you. But the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God was getting deep down inside of you. And you say, oh, preacher, you're stepping on my toes. No, I wasn't stepping on your toes. God was illuminating what's wrong with you. They say, oh, preacher, you said something that really got to me today. Listen, thanks for giving me credit, but I don't need any credit, because it wasn't me. It was God working through me, but it was the word of God that did the work, because it's quick and it's powerful. Adam and Eve tried to hide, and God sees through it, and he sees through our hiding as well. It's so quick and powerful. You think you can come into church and you've been sinning all week and you think God won't find you out. It's not a scary thing. It's a Bible thing. And God is looking deep down and he's saying, I want you to get it right, because to those who he loves, he chastens. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. The word of God is so great. Look at verse 13 back in the text. Verse 13 says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Because of the power and quickness of God's word, nothing is hidden to God. He knows our heart and he knows how to get to it. Look at verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. So what do we do with our critical heart condition that no man, including ourselves, can heal? We go to Jesus and his word. The high priest in the Old Testament would go and he could make the atonement for all of Israel in the Holy of Holies by sprinkling the blood of the sacrifice upon the mercy seat. But in the New Testament, we understand that Jesus Christ is the great high priest and that by his blood, he has forgiven all sins. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Look at Hebrews 2:17, what it says about our high priest. Wherefore, in all things, it has behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Speaking of Jesus Christ, watch this. No priest in the Old Testament was ever called great. No priest in the Old Testament ever passed through heaven, that is, to be resurrected. No other priest is the Son of God. Hebrews 1:1-3, you know these verses. God at sundry times and divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. And the Bible says, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had made by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. Makes sense for us because it lists his qualifications in verse 14. In verse 15, it lists his qualities. His qualities are omnipotence and compassion. Look at verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Buddha didn't take on the form of God and man. Muhammad didn't take on the form of God and man. The Hindus, gods of cows, didn't take on the form of anything but the burger on my plate. We don't praise the cow. We eat the cow. Listen, the only God that ever took man and God and smacked them together is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so his qualifications and his qualities, he's omnipotent and compassionate because he took on the form of flesh, humbling himself. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And in the Greek, when you look at this, it's such a big deal because the Greek gods, the little g gods they served, their major attribute was apatheia, the lack of being able to feel anything. But our God, let me tell you about my Jesus. He knows and feels what we go through. The Greek translation is this. It's that we don't have a high priest who can't sympathize, but even greater than that, he empathizes with us. He suffers alongside us, and even greater, he didn't deserve to while we do, and he did it anyway. This is why he is only and only he is able to be our mediator. 1 Timothy 2:5, I wish the Pope could understand this so he'd go sit down somewhere. You'll think I'm kidding. If I saw him to his face, I would tell him this right here. Go on, sit down somewhere, boy. You ain't nobody. I'll tell him that. And stop going behind some little closet and telling somebody you sorry they can't do nothing for you and get to the throne of mercy and go tell Jesus Christ who can forgive you of your sins by the word of his power. Because there's one God and one mediator between God and man, and that's the man Christ Jesus. That's the only way to have sin forgiven. He said, that sounds so disrespectful of the Pope. He ain't nobody to me. I call no man father except for the Father in heaven, because that's what the Bible said. I have no idols. Mary can't do it. All your little patron saints can't do it. John the Apostle is no more a saint than you or I. Because saints are just those who are saved and forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. When John goes into heaven and he sees the angel, he gets down on his knees and starts to worship. He says, see that y'all don't do that. I'm a servant just like you. The angels in heaven are nobodies. They're just servants of God, just like you and I. And look at verse 16. So it gets to the text verse here, what I'll be preaching out of today. From all that, from the word of God, and because we have this high priest, it says this. Therefore, let us therefore. You know, when I preach, I always tell you, if you see a therefore, it's there for a reason. And therefore is an adverb. And it means for that reason, consequently, or as a result. And so when we see, therefore, as a result of the word of God and God getting down into our lives and understanding us through him being an empathizing, all-powerful God, because therefore we have a high priest, he says, this is why you pray in here, in this place. I'm going to see if I can illustrate it for you this morning. It may get Baptist, so if you're nervous, put your seatbelt on. Put your feet on the ground. Keep your hands and feet inside of the vehicle at all times. The exits are here, here, and here. And if you feel the need at any time that you got to get out of here, you'll know how to get out of here. I will tell you this, there's no flotation device on the bottom of your chair. So if we get any water and rough turbulence, you're just going to drown. Now listen to me. Because the word has showed us our condition, we know who can help us, and we are invited to come boldly to grace. This prayer posture brings us two things in the scripture I see this morning. The first thing that it brings us when we pray this bold prayer to the throne of grace is peace. I'm learning as I get older, the thing that Satan wants to discourage and disturb the most in our lives is our peace. He wants to mess up our peace, because if he can mess up our peace, he can inflame our problems, and he can make things that aren't as big a deal as they really are seem bigger. And when he makes that happen, that's when we get drama in our life. And when there's drama in our life, that takes away from the peace. But God wants us to have the peace that passeth all understanding. And if Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace, as Isaiah 9 says, then Satan's one of his major goals is to mess that up so that you won't have that type of peace. The Bible says, I will keep you in perfect peace. And Satan wants to disturb that. He wants to discourage us from finding God's grace. He wants us to believe that Jesus is unapproachable because he hates peace, because the throne of grace, when we go to the throne of grace, what does it say in verse 16? We go to the throne of grace, but when we get there, what we obtain is mercy. And when we find mercy, we find peace with God. And when we find peace with God, we get rid of some of our problems and some of our baggage. And Satan don't know how to deal with that. Satan's the author of confusion. And so when we don't have confusion, because the Bible says God's not the author of confusion, but it says this, if God's not the author of confusion, then we know who the author of confusion is. There's only two types of fathers in the Bible, the Father God, and he says, Jesus says, but some of you are of your father, the devil. And so if God, the Father, is not the author of confusion, then Satan is. And so if he can mess up peace, he can get you confused. And when he's got you confused, there's no peace. But when you go and you obtain mercy, now you're at peace. There's no more confusion. Satan don't like that. We understand that mercy is not getting what we deserve, while grace is getting what we don't deserve. You've heard me say it before, but if we worry, then there's no reason to pray. But if we pray, there's no reason to worry. Sarah Winchester, the widow of the man who created Winchester guns and ammo. This is old now, but had a huge mansion. And when her husband died and she was widowed, she had many means and much money. And whether she thought she was being haunted or whether she thought it was something she had to do, she perpetually continued to build upon the mansion. And it said in that day and age, we're talking the 50s, from the 1800s into the 50s, she continued after he died to build and add and renovate and add to the mansion. And she did that the rest of her life because she never was at peace, feeling that if she didn't continue to build upon it, that all of those things would go away, all of the money and the fame and the fortune, and that even though we have this brand all these years later, she feared that it would go away. So she continued to remodel, and the construction people came in and were happy to take her money, and there was a staircase that went up. And she continued to go up that staircase, and they continued to build up and up and up, and she felt that by doing that, she was in some way creating peace with God, that she would be able to go on. It said that in our money today, that she put over $700 million worth of renovations in that place that didn't need it for just her to live there because she was so afraid and not at peace. And I got news for you today. All Sarah Winchester needed to hear was that God is the Prince of Peace. And that no amount of building, no amount of money, no amount of things you can do can get you into heaven. No, save by the blood of Jesus Christ. If I could have just talked to Sarah Winchester and said, nah, baby, all you got to do is get into the throne room. All you got to do is get in there and pray to God, and whosoever will shall. And if you'll just call upon the name of Jesus, he can send you the peace that passeth all understanding. You don't got to build no more. Give it to me. Amen. Amen. give a brother a few dollars because it's all going to waste. And when she died, all the building ceased. And the mansion is there, and it's just a relic and a museum, but no one lives there. And all that she put money into and time into amounted to absolutely nothing. You hear me? Some of you are putting a lot of time and attention into worldly things and worldly gain. And Jesus says this, what shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And some of your souls are in danger of splitting hell wide open should you die today. And you have no peace. But I'm here to tell you through the word of God, through just getting into the throne room today, because of God's grace, he's allowing you to hear the word of God that you might obtain mercy even today. But then number two, it gives this prayer posture, gives us the presence of God. I want you to see this. Look at Isaiah 26 and verse 3. It ties the two together. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. And so there's trust, but when you trust, when you put your faith in the Lord, you're saved, the Holy Spirit comes into you, now you're always in the presence of the Lord. So it ties the two together. But then look at this, Psalm 46 and verse 1, you know this verse. When I get into the presence of God, I'm looking for some help because God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. There in Hebrews 4 and 16, it says that I'm trying to find this grace to help in a time of need. Have you ever been in a time of need? Yeah. Some of you are in this place today in a time of need. Can I illustrate it this way? When you get into the throne room of God, you are in the actual very presence of God. You may not feel like you're in the presence of God. You're not going to see angels and seraphim going all around you. If you do, you took something you shouldn't have took. Listen to me. We don't believe in that. That's not real. But you're not going to hear the audible voice of God. Like if you hear God call out from heaven and he talks to you like he did Jesus, again, just listen. You ate some bad pizza or something. But that's not what's happening. Okay, but listen to what I'm saying. But when you're really praying, when you really get into the throne room, see, part of the peace that happens is all the distractions around you are gone. When you get alone, some people need a prayer closet. Some people need the wilderness. I need a fishing hole. And when I'm in my fishing hole, I'm in perfect peace, and I can truly talk to God. And sometimes I just have all my Christian music, and I'm listening to it, and sometimes my girls are there or somebody else is with me, and they don't even know I'm praying, but I'm in perfect peace, and they're over here fishing, and until one of them gets their line caught, I'm just in perfect peace. And I'm fishing. I don't got to be catching nothing, but I'm just in tune with God. Sometimes I'm in my truck, and I'm just praying, and I'm talking, and I'm in perfect peace. I like taking the back roads, and so it's an easy drive, easy like a Sunday morning, and I can just get out there by myself, and I'm not worried about some semi crossing over three lanes to get in front of me. I'm just out there by myself, and I'm in perfect peace, and I'm just talking to God. And when that's going on, when I'm really jacked in, I'm in the throne room. I'm in the presence with God. And when I'm in the presence of God, when I'm before God, it reminds me that God is able. And not only is God able, but he wants to do it. Somebody say, God, they say, won't he do it? And listen, he will and he wants to. Because God says that if you're saved, we're his children, and every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. He says, if your earthly father knows how to give good gifts, how much better does your heavenly father? Listen, I'm a father, and I want my kids to be in perfect health and perfect peace. How much more does the Father God want that for us? Now watch this. I'm going to give you a reason to shout now. Stay with me. We're going to be finished. We live in an area here in Dayton, Ohio, where we are privy to some great medical facilities. And they are specialized, and you want to be in the presence of a certain facility when certain things take place when you're in trouble or need. If you have heart issues in this area, you're going to want to go to Kettering Hospital because they have the best heart doctors and heart surgeons in the area. If you are at level one trauma, you've been stabbed or shot, you want to go to Miami Valley because it's our only level one trauma center in the area. If you have severe cancer, you may want to go to Columbus, to the James, because they have the greatest cancer research in the area. If you have some medical issue they can't figure out or find out, you may want to take a couple hours drive up to Cleveland Clinic and have them look over you. And when you get there, you don't just go in to the doctor and just let anybody start working on you. You want to see some degrees on the wall. You want to see some reasons why this person is qualified. You want to see something that makes you believe this person can do something. And I know that it's not always as simple as this, but when you get there, the doctor can simply write you a prescription or an order for a surgery or for a testing, and when they get to the technician or when they get to the pharmacist, just at the name of the doctor signing it, they are now authorized to give you the medication or to run the test. When I was doing this, stay with me because I worked on this. But when I get into the throne room and I close my prayer in Jesus' name, Jesus hasn't authorized me to get some testing. He hasn't authorized me to get some medication because he is the medication. Amen. When I get into the throne room with Jesus, I go to him, and when I'm in trouble, when I need help, he is my refuge and my strength. He is a very present help in the time of need. And so when I get into the throne room and I close that prayer in Jesus' name, he signed off and said, I can heal you right now by the power of my word and in my might. Now let me tell you this morning, and I'm finished. I promised I was going to preach short because of everything going on. We got baptism to come, but I don't want to close without telling you this as we pray for impact. A lot of folks are praying for the wrong things. The Bible says, I'll do anything unless you pray amiss, unless you're doing it wrong. Let me jack you in for a moment. Some of y'all are still praying with dial-up. Now, the young people don't know what I'm talking about. All you people that are older and old enough to remember dial-up and how you used to have to get on the internet. The internet wasn't on our phones when we was young. Let me just keep that real with you. To get on the internet, it was a process. And you couldn't get on the internet if somebody in your house was on the landline phone. You know what a landline is, amen? Okay. And if they was, many times in my life, they say, who's on the phone? Get off the phone. I need to get on the internet and check my emails. And when you got on the internet back in the day, young people, it sounded like an airplane was taking off. The whole house was shaking and making noise. And let me just say this. You probably don't know what a dot matrix printer is, but there used to be perforated holes on our printer paper. And it's just a whole thing. Some of y'all are still praying with dial-up, and God says, I want you to get the Wi-Fi. Amen. That's Wi-Fi for some of y'all. I want y'all to dial in. I want y'all to get on this and connect. And now, listen, God said, we don't need 5G or 6G or 7G. We just need 1G capital, and that's God. Amen. And you tap into that. And let me tell you this. Let me tell you how good God is. See, there were some things in the Bible that took place. Do we have a minute? There were some things that took place in the Bible. And God showed up, and he did something amazing. And these people prayed. And these people said, God, we need peace. God, we need your presence. And I remember there's a story in the Bible. Somebody testify if I got this right. If I had a Bible reader, you'll understand this morning. But I remember this time they get to the Red Sea and they're trapped in, and Pharaoh's army is coming down on the people of Israel, and they look around and they say, Moses, you brought us out here to the sea to perish. And Moses, he says it really nicely, but in common day preacher language, he tells the congregation, shut up and watch God work. All right? He said, watch what God's about to do. And he raises his staff, and all of a sudden the sea parts and Israel walks across on dry land. See, it was right then, right in the time of trouble, where God's peace and presence showed up, because when Moses got into the throne room of God, God did something. I remember a story in the prophets of Baal when Elijah was on Mount Carmel, and they came and they thought that there was going to be a great slaughter of the people of Judah and the Israelites. And Elijah goes to God, and all of a sudden, the next thing you know, all these prophets of Baal are running, and he gets to ask this question, where are your gods now? Do they not do anything? They don't plead. They ain't got no power, and they all scatter away. I remember in the New Testament, there's a demoniac boy who's rolling around. They can't get him down. They're trying to handcuff him. They're trying to hold time, and he just keeps breaking through it. But then Jesus comes, and just at the word of Jesus, he's set free from all those places. The next thing you know, the demoniac's talking about, Jesus, can I go with you? Listen to me. All I'm saying is that at the very worst time, in the very hardest places, when you pray and ask God in the throne room, that's when God shows up the most. Some of you been in struggle. Some of you been hurting. Some of you been right there on drugs and alcohol. You had some kind of relationship issue. You had some kind of horrific accident. And God was ready to show up, but you didn't know how to ask him. And what I'm telling you is you got to get into the throne room. You say, how do I get into the throne room? Through the word of God. And when you go through the word of God, the power of God, the peace of God, the presence of God, the provision of God. If I had another P, I'm going to start stuttering. But listen to me this morning. If you just get into the throne room of God and pray it in Jesus' name, all things are made possible. And I want to give attention to this morning. Some of you have come into this place this morning and you say, Pastor Bryson, you talked a whole bunch, but I don't understand because you don't have the first piece of this. The word hasn't meant anything to you because you don't have faith that this word is true, that this Bible from cover to cover is not just some words, but it's inspired, inerrant, and infallible. It can't have any issues. It's without error. God breathed it into existence. And because of that, those of us who have placed our faith and trust in the Lord have placed our faith and trust in this book. We know these words, that for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Yes. So what do I need to be saved from? Let me tell you. It's good for every Christian to hear this because this is how you got saved too. And this is a memorial to you, but for some people it's the motivator of why they need to have faith. The reason why you need to be saved is because you're a sinner. And I'm not the kind of preacher that's going to preach down my nose at you because I'm the chief among sinners. I've sinned, and I sinned a long time before I found the throne room of God and through his grace and obtained mercy. It took me 22 years to realize my need for salvation. But I'm no less saved than someone that got saved when they was 5 years old today, because that same mercy applies to all. But what you have to understand is recognize your condition that, yes, I am a sinner. Yes, I've made mistakes. I've broken the commandments of a holy God. And because of that, there's no way back to him, because God cannot look upon sin. He can't be in the presence. You can't even get into the throne room until you're saved, because God can't have any sin in his presence. Because of that, today, there's some of you that are broken and hurting and struggling and don't have the peace of God. And I want to explain to you that there's only one way to have it. It's by what we saw on the screen today, the man Christ Jesus, because there's one mediator between God and man. Listen, I would love to have the power to say your sins are forgiven you, but I don't, because I'm not perfect. I would love to be able to come and say you can pay your penance or you can be baptized enough times to be saved, but I'm not perfect. But there's a perfect God who loves you so much that he said the only way you can truly be forgiven of your sin is by me sending my son, Jesus Christ, from heaven to get down into the dirt and the muck and mire with you, to feel what you feel, to suffer through these infirmities. My daughter always says, sympathy is giving somebody an umbrella. Empathy is going and standing in the rain with them. And Jesus just didn't give you a way to salvation. Jesus came down into the earth and stood with you and is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by him. If you've been trying any other way, if you say, I got saved when I was a little kid, listen to me. But that's because somebody told you, or because you're leaning on your baptism, or leaning because you went to church your whole life. When you die, you're going straight to hell. But not by your might, not by your nobility, but by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if you would believe Jesus today, that he is able to save you by his power, by the word of his might. If you would believe today strongly enough that you're ready to repent and turn away, listen to me. When I got saved, I didn't keep on doing the things I wanted to do because I had a new life. Because watch this. The Bible says if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Oh, I was a certain creature before I got saved, but I became a new creature and old things got passed away and behold, all things become new. I was going this way, running with that crowd, talking like this, doing like that. And when I got saved, I turned around and I said, there's Jesus. I'm going to follow him. And I've never regretted that decision. Almost 22 years later, I'm still following Jesus. And each day gets sweeter and sweeter. When I go to a camp like this, and I see young people give their lives to Jesus, and I remind them, as they said this morning, we don't want the fire to go out. We don't want the fire to grow strangely dim. What we want is for you to get more in power. Add to your faith virtue and knowledge. Add to your faith these things. Because the closer I get to Jesus, the more assurance I have that when Jesus come back, I'm going to be with him. Pastor, they say, Pastor, how are you so unafraid to die? Because I'm never going to die. Amen. Because I believe in the immortal God who has given me everlasting life. And even when I leave this earth, I'm not dead. I just began to live. And I want you to have that hope of faith today, that blessing. And all it's going to take for you is to get into the throne room this morning. You want peace this morning? You want the presence of God dwelling with you and in you? The Holy Spirit's not going to make you do crazy things. You're not going to get up and start walking and talking like a ghost. But man, I can't even tell you what will change. Somebody said to me this week, I got saved and I just feel different. And it's not about emotion, but you will feel different because things change. They say, I just feel, and I said, you know what you're feeling, don't you? They said, what? I said, peace. Because when you were at war with God, when there was enmity, now the propitiation, Jesus Christ, the wrath settler, he came in and he just said this, like when the wind was blowing boisterous and he said, peace be still, when the devil was raging up in you and causing you to have confusion and have a lack of peace and drama, Jesus stepped into your life when you accepted him and he just said, peace. Well, that's going to make you feel different, ain't it? I mean, if you're intelligent at all, it feels different when the boat's rocking and when the boat's just smoothly sailing along. This morning, every head bowed and every eye closed. There's some of you today that aren't at peace. You have no peace. You are in confusion. And I'm telling you from the word of God, not from my power, but from God's power, that is not what God wants for you. God's will is that none should perish, but that all would come to repentance. He says it in his book, and I believe him, because his goodness ran after me and caught me when I was 22 years old, and it's been running after me ever since. Even when I make mistakes, even when I sin, God never fails. And today you could have that peace. Today you could have that presence if you get into the throne room. Nobody's moving. Nobody's talking. Everybody's sitting still. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The pianist begins to play softly in the background. You get in right now into the throne room. If you said, Pastor Bryson, I don't know if I'm saved. Or maybe you say, I know I'm not saved. Can I tell you there's only two realistic options for how you're even sitting here today? And one of them's not realistic, it's ridiculous, but it's what people would give you.